Live from the NBC News Radio broadcasting studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM. We're located here in beautiful, sunny California. Thanks for tuning into The Water Zone this afternoon. I'm your host, Rob Starr, along with the huckster of hydrology. You like that?
The huckster of hydrology. Very cool. Great to be here this week. Sorry I missed you last week, but you know.
Sorry you were on vacation. What are you sorry about?
Circumstances prevented my cooperation.
I'm glad you had fun. Did you eat well? Did you eat some seafood? Did you go out camping? You did all that.
Yeah, did all that stuff. Went fishing, saw some friends, did all the stuff you want to do on the vacation. You know, just sit back, drink in the hand, toes in the sand.
Wow, I like that. I need a vacation. I haven't had one in 3 years.
You should try it.
I know, I should try it.
It's the fad now, you know.
Is it required that we take vacations?
Yeah, I think so. It should be. It is in France.
Well, they give a month off over there, don't they?
Yeah, they get a month. I got all of August off.
Wow. That's not bad. It was like the Chinese New Year that goes for a couple weeks, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, February.
Are we moving the studios over there?
I doubt that's going to happen. Buddy.
Okay, I tried.
The commute's tough, too.
Yes, it did. It did. Anyway, it's a great day. It's a nice week. Beautiful weather out, and hopefully it's going to be a nice weekend here. And I guess it's cold in some parts of the country. I know we talked to a gentleman last week in Canada, and he was pretty cold.
Yep. But a lot of tough weather in the Midwest right now. Storms,
floods
flooding.
In Iowa.
Yep.
Wow. And they
a
said
lot of
that
people having a tough time.
They said it won't recede for maybe a week.
Sure.
Wow. That's just well, climate's changing. But I don't know what it was before 200 years ago. You know, it could have been the same thing. I do think people contribute to raising the temperature somewhat or changing the air and things of that sort, because there's more people today and more asphalt, more cars that were in here 1,000 years ago. But the science is kind of strange, because it depends who you talk to.
It does.
Now, we're going to have, just so you know, I think you do know, next week we're going to have a Nobel Peace Prize winner
on
the
know,
show,
right?
Dr. Jonathan Overpeck, and he's from the University of Michigan. He actually wrote a research paper and got his Nobel Peace Prize along with Al Gore at that time.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on our show next week. I'm very excited about that. And, he does a thing about climate change and fires, how it affects fires and things.
Correct.
So we got a lot of good questions for him.
Yep. We have a great guest tonight as well.
Yes, we do. But we have the first good guest, who is just the most awesome person we know in water news in California. And it is Miss Chris Austin, who is the purveyor of Maven's Notebook. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
We'd be fine.
Absolutely good.
Hey. Well, you know, there's actually been a lot of, as you were saying, Robert, there's actually been a lot of stuff out lately on tree rings. They just released a big study looking back on tree rings, because there's a lot that they can tell about past climate
and drought.
And they again find another link between us burning fossil fuels and drought. I mean, there's a lot of things that are related in the world. Everything seems to impact everything else, there's been a lot of study, and in the past, we've actually had droughts that were a lot worse than what we went through, droughts that lasted, decades, hundreds of years in some instances. The dry weather that we saw, as we start to understand the climate that we have had in the past, we start to understand that in these last 100, 150 years of water development, we've actually lived in extraordinarily wet times in a lot of places.
Yep.
But that's not the norm with the long-term vision. So, there's a lot of really heavy climate news, but I think Jonathan Overpeck will really have a lot to say about that.
Yep.
We've had a lot of stuff that's happened in California water this week that bears discussing beyond the climate change.
Yep.
It actually started this week, at the beginning of this week, when Governor Newsom put out an executive order that ordered the three secretaries of Natural Resources, Food and Ag, and Cal EPA to develop a new water action plan for resiliency is the term that they're using. And this is to build upon, you know, Governor Brown had a water action plan, and they had like 10 things, 10 different priority actions to be taken. But this is meant to be, I think, a little bit more prioritized and have a bit more of what is a trend that seems to happen in a lot of planning, where you set some type of measurable objective that then you measure your performance against as you move through time with whatever program that you're implementing. This is something that's been coming up through the planning processes in the state agencies, and this is something it looks like they're want to implement here, but they want to take a broad look at all the state's water resources, our demands, and the projected demand and the supplies that we have, and to come up with some ideas on how the state can move forward. Now, when the governor put out this release at the beginning of the week, he didn't really say much about the tunnels, and everybody in the water world, especially in Southern California, is quite curious as to be what's going to happen with the tunnels. And it's been a big question because the Brown administration had this two-tunnel concept that they put forward, and it went through a lot of these permitting processes. But in the meantime, a lot of changes happened to other things that could impact the project. And as a two-tunnel project, and then Governor Newsom in his State of the State said, you know, I support some improved conveyance of water through the Delta, but I want a smaller tunnel project. So that all had us, like, wondering what is going to be the smaller tunnel project. You know, well, how much smaller? One tunnel at 14,000 CFS. I mean, who knew?
Right.
So, quantify small.
Yeah, exactly. So today the state actually has now rescinded all of their permit applications for the California Water Fix Project, and they are going to essentially go back to the drawing board and start over with a single tunnel project that will be of a smaller capacity. Now, I actually had the honor of getting to speak to Carla Namath, the director of the Department of Water Resources, before they put this before they put out this press release, and she told me that one of the things they're going to do in this new tunnel project is they're going to invest more in the engineering and the design aspect before they take it to the environmental review, because part of the problem that they had with the previous project is that they didn't really have a lot of specifics on how it would be operated because they hadn't completed a lot of the engineering design. And she says that just spread a lot of mistrust. So they're going to try and reformulate the project as a single tunnel, a smaller project, and hopefully have more specifics so when they go to the environmental review process, they'll be somewhere. Now, the Delta people are glad that the project is dead, but the real diehard Delta stakeholders are not going to want any tunnel project. I don't think. I think, you know, everyone right now is sort of saying, oh, great, good, we're going to take a fresh look at this. But in the long run, the Delta stakeholders have not been happy, I don't think, even with the one tunnel project. Restore the Delta has never supported that.
Well, it's taken them a long time to decide how to proceed in an orderly fashion and collect all the information and scientific information before they, you know, jump forward in these things. Just like the train to nowhere, you know. Now they're talking about they're gonna make it, you take the train from Merced to the other place, and then you get off and take another slow train and go, and you know, that little portion raised from $10 million that they spent, and now they want another $10 billion. Now they want another $18 billion. But they really got to decide on what they're going to do with the tunnel thing, because this has been going on for quite a while.
I think it's $250 million put into the planning process, I think, is something like that. It may be a little bit more. Although, if you really think about it, over the span of 8 years, it's not necessarily as much as it could have been. But in a way, that's all kind of getting, like, pushed out the door.
Yeah.
But here we go. This is what the new governor wants to do. I asked today, too, when they were talking to me about it, what about the Central Valley Project, the federal participants? And they were saying, you know, we're going to look and see who wants to participate, who's willing to pay, and we will see, you know, the project that we can design around that. Not going to cut out, you know, anybody, but the state water project, the state's project, all those contractors have contracts with the state, and, you know, everything's pretty defined. On the federal side, there are contracts that have been in place that were put into place over various decades, and everybody has a different deal, and it's not just a straightforward case where, you know, the state can say to its state contractors, this is part of of our water system, and you're going to get billed, essentially. And, you know, there's not a whole lot they can say. They all took votes on it to agree, but, you know, the state has a lot more control. The federal government have a lot less control because they have all these different contracts with all these different things built in. The state water project contracts have one. So, like, the federal contractors probably have, like, 20 different districts, maybe more, with 20 different contracts, each a little bit different depending on their infrastructure and what they have in place. And the feds can't really say, you got to go along with this project, as much as the state can say to its contractors.
Yeah, state water regulators been really busy and will be busy, right? With the Trump administration going ahead, they're like, you know, they're rewriting all kinds of wetlands protections and all that kind of stuff. So,
and thank you for mentioning that, because the interesting news that happened last week, I believe on Friday, is the state actually put out an announcement that they wanted to do a new project or a new plan for the Delta. They were going to pursue permits for operating the state projects in the Delta that will comply with federal requirements but would be a state-oriented plan. It was actually a little bit mysterious about what they meant, but essentially what it seemed to say to me is the state said, okay, we're going to operate our own project under our own parameters, and we're going to have our own biological opinions, and you all federal people can do whatever you're going to do, because the federal people are not sure they want to comply with the state's plan. So that we're really queuing up here for a state versus federal war. We're already in the midst of it. You know, they cooperate in some instances, but in other instances they're not. And there's, like, lawsuits. I think California has a number of lawsuits with the Trump administration. I think the most, actually, in the country, the last I heard, and a number of them deal with water and water issues. We're in for another water war is what it's kind of looking for me, between federal and state, and you know, this, the issue of federal and state's rights really goes back, you know, hundreds of years to the beginning of the Constitution, you know, and what can the feds do and what can the states do, and where is division of rights? And, you know, water really gets in the middle of a lot of those issues.
No, that it does. You know, I think what they're looking at here is taking the cases. Why California does all of this is they go to the Ninth Federal District Court, then it goes to the appeals, you know, appeals court from there. Then it goes to the, you know, the big one in Washington, and that can take years before it gets done, and it's not cheap. But what about the people in Central California, because they're sort of getting bamboozled. I don't want to say the word I wanted to use. you know, they got the clean water issues going. going there. And I don't know if you saw on television the other night. I was on, I did a thing with CBS Television and KCAL News on Monday. And one of the things they talked about before they aired our segment is about how contaminated the tap water is.
Yeah, in the bigger cities. They're finding contaminants in tap water all over the place. And, but I did see some, yeah, there's been some articles out. The Environmental Working Group put out a study that there are, you know, a lot of things in the drinking water and that could possibly cause cancer. The number I saw today was something like 15,000.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, while nobody wants to be one of those 15,000, I mean, perspective, there's 34 million people living in California.
And that's what the reporter said. But what strikes me funny is water agencies, I believe, are supposed to collect the data, and they're also supposedly report the data.
Well, the problem is that, like, especially when we're talking about disadvantaged communities, when we talk about disadvantaged communities, we're talking about communities that have people living in them that can barely pay their taxes. The tax base is really low. They in a lot of cases, don't have governance. I mean, if you're in an unincorporated county area, there may not even be a city government around. And to be filtering the water for all the contaminants that have landed in the aquifers in the Central Valley is very expensive.
Yep.
And these people cannot pay for that to run that water system. Now, you can say, okay, so they should shut that down. But if you do not have running water to your house, you get red tagged.
Yep.
So people don't want to talk about not having water in their house, and they don't want it shut off.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about very poor farm workers in the Central Valley, and you red tag their homes, where are they going to go?
Oh, I totally agree with that. And my only point to that would be, hey, California, stop spending all the money on ridiculous things that you're doing, and come up with a plan for the top five issues, as I've always said, and take care of that. And human life is important. And feeding, you know, issuing dirty water to people and kids and older people, and I don't care if they're rich or poor, or whatever. It's not fair to them. There's no way that anybody who lives in America should be delivered dirty water.
And, you know, interestingly enough, I actually think that there is a solution, and I do think that some people are starting to work towards. You know, if we can't clean up the water in a big way, in an economically way for a community, maybe we can do it in a household-by-household manner.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of infrastructure, people are now starting to think about, you know, right here at the point of coming into your house.
Yeah, point of use, right.
Yes, point of use. Not only with electricity, but maybe with water and maybe even with your wastewater, too.
Yeah, I think
they're trying to come up with solutions because sometimes, you know, a big infrastructure solution doesn't necessarily work for a small community, but maybe a point of source, something in everybody's house, maybe that would work. And so we are starting to work towards looking at those options, as well as looking at the options of connecting nearby towns to larger water systems that can provide the expertise and the technical, you know, capabilities that are not available to these poor communities. But there's been a lot of resistance, in, you know, to people taking on some of these communities, and some of it, not all of it, but some of it does go back to, you know, falls along racial lines.
Yes.
You know, where in the past, sure, in the 50s, they didn't want to have anything to do with that part of town, and people still don't.
Yeah.
But they're trying to work on consolidating these systems because in a lot of ways, that's the easiest and cheapest way to deliver clean water to people's houses. But also, the next thing is a point-of-use system.
Yeah, well, what's certainly true in California is water politics is adversarial, right, and has been for years, and it's not going to change. But, you know, we tend to look at the water issue in California as a giant, big, statewide issue with storage and treatment and aging water infrastructure and all that stuff. So really glad to see some people take a little more closer, you know, in the trenches view to help those people who are disadvantaged.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how this process progresses with the Newsom administration, because, you know, it was clearly, to me, we were headed into a logger jam, and I had my own questions on whether WaterFix was going to be able to survive based on everything that was going on and all the changes that had occurred, and it just didn't seem to me like it was on its way. So now we're going to try a fresh path approach. We'll see how it works. You know, again, the people in the Delta are really against any kind of a tunnel. I don't believe there's any way you can make that palatable to them. But let's see, you know, what happens with the new process.
Yeah. There's tons of stuff I'd like to talk to you about tonight, because last week I was on vacation and I read a lot of stuff. I mean, I'd really like to talk to you about the whole zombie trees and all that stuff. But Rob's giving me the crinkly eyebrow here. So
no, I like zombie trees.
So
why don't you explain to our listeners what the zombie trees are?
All right.
They're trees that they don't know they're dead yet.
Yes.
Right. I know some people like that.
I laugh, but unfortunately, yeah, you probably saw some of these things in your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, when they told people to stop, you know, irrigating their lawns, a lot of trees died.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did in the city of Claremont, where I live, which is known as the city of trees, right? And so many of them are died and or are still dying,
it's a sad thing. Although the article said there were things you could do to help those trees out, but you know, I mean, that was really the sad part of the drought, is that, and the thing that people, that nobody really thought about until all the trees started dying, and it was like, oh, wait a minute, don't not water your trees, but it was too late. I knew people that were sounding the alarm long before, you know, people really started to take action.
Truly unfortunate when you see beautiful trees that have been here for years and years and they just let them die. So well, Chris, we're up against our time for our sponsors, so we have to go to that. And we do thank you very much for being on the show. We do appreciate it. And I guess we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for our listeners,
okay.
If you want to know more information, go to mavensnotebook.com and read what Chris has on that site. A great source. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
Good evening.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, K292 FQ Riverside, and K293 CF Moreno Valley.
If you knew there was a pipe cement that works better than the one you're currently using, is better for you and the environment, and costs the same or less, would you buy it? Well, no-brainer, right? Weldon, the trusted leader in solvent cements for over 60 years, is pleased to introduce a new line of solvent cements that does all that. Introducing the Eco Series line of solvent cements for PVC piping systems. Not only does it work great and set fast, it also has 30% lower solvent emissions and less smelly fumes, a better workplace environment when you're installing pipes. But don't just take our word for it. Eco Series products are the only solvent cements that are Green Seal certified for environmental innovation for effective performance, improved working conditions, and for use with potable water. Now available in a medium-bodied fast-setting blue formula, 905 Eco, and a regular-bodied fast-setting clear formula, 900 Eco. Pick up a can today from your local distributor and see, smell, and feel the difference, just like Joe Sweat, president of Sunrise Irrigation, did. He said, after using Weldon's 905 Eco, we immediately noticed the application was smooth and there was noticeably less odor than other blue solvent cements on the market. The guys love it. To learn more about Eco Solvent Cements from Weldon, Visit the website at www.welldone.com or call the technical service hotline at 877-477-8327. That's 877-477-8327.
Time to take a water break and talk some water. Irrigation. Such a refreshing topic. As more and more markets face water restrictions, your customers may be hungry, or should I say thirsty, for water-saving products. For new installations, add options like drip irrigation, controllers that respond to weather data, pressure-regulating heads, or heads with check valves. They all provide easy ways to differentiate your bids and win more jobs. Or for an extra stream of revenue, offer existing customers upgrades like high-efficiency nozzles, rotary nozzles, or Wi-Fi-based controllers. Because when you help your customers save water, you make a world of difference for the earth and your bottom line at the same time. We'll drink to that.
Well, welcome back to the second half of the Water Zone with Chris and Rob, and hope everybody's having a great afternoon. It's a beautiful evening out here in California. We love it, and hope it stays that way through the weekend so we can have some fun. Anyway, we have an interesting guest. He's from Jersey. So am I. So we got something in common. His name is Darren Gruner, and he's a design professional and a landscape pro with over 40 years' experience. He's known for quality for his award-winning firm called Totalscape Design, and they're back in Florida, Pompano, Florida. And he is also the CEO and founder of Turfs Up Radio, which we're going to talk about a little bit, also about his business. And it's the only radio platform of its kind dedicated to the green industry. And Darren's keen eye for design and innovative ideas have not only won his company many awards, many multi-million-dollar awards, but he's also resulted in centerfold spreads. I was going to clarify that centerfold. I did. you'll have to explain that to us, Darren. Really? You have to explain that to us, Darren.
We'll have to ask Darren about that.
Make sure we know what that is. Several major outdoor living publications, and he's been featured in several magazines, including Landscape Management. So, Darren, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. It's great to be with like-minded professionals, boy. I'll tell you what. Yep. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, you're right back at you.
Yeah. Hey, we'll do anything for Jersey people.
I try to forget that I'm from Jersey because it's so beautiful down here. For me, I just don't want to ever go back. So let's pretend that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I know I once went back to where I was born. I don't want to go there anymore. I was in Plainfield, New Jersey. Not the best place anymore. It used to be good, I guess, when I was little, but that's not that way anymore. Things change all over anyway. But the only thing I missed is waking up in the wintertime when it was snowing and listening to the radio to see if my school was closed. But they don't.
That's right. I remember those days. I don't miss that snow. That's for sure.
No, and I'm getting too old to shovel snow, so that's the way you do it. So anyway, tell us a little bit about. Let's start with your main business, because I know you've been doing that for a long time, and that's been in your blood, and how you started with that, and you're still doing it, and then we'll transition into the radio thing, which we are real interested in as well.
Well, absolutely. I can't wait to talk about that. My main passion growing up in life has been all about landscaping and design. And over the years, I started just like these regular guys. Started at 11 years old, started, cutting lawns, then realizing I love the smell. I love to be able to help other people. I love being able to create good landscapes for people and put a smile on their face. And so I create, as I was going to school and I was learning to, my parents always wanted me to be a doctor, a lawyer, and I'm going to college. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, and I'm supporting myself with landscaping, and I realized I can really make a good living at it. I'd love to do it. We all want to do what we love in our career. But Totalscape Design has, we've done lawns and landscaping, and now we really just focus in on building. We all want to stay high-end product. I'm not a snub to a smaller project. But we do big projects here in Florida. And by the way, Florida is so forgiving. It's so different landscaping in South Florida than it is in the Northeast. I mean, it was a whole different transition. By the way, if you are so used to Northeast, you think you can come down to Florida and take it up that quickly. It's not that easy because it's a whole different animal.
Different ball.
But it is free. It is. But I tell you what, it's very forgiving because when you're in the, listen, you guys know, when you're up in the Northeast, things grow very slowly, right? And you want to put that, if you want to put a 1 gallon, 3 gallon plants down there, and you want to call yourself a professional, it's going to be very difficult because, you know, people want to pay good money and they want to see instant gratification, and it doesn't happen. But here in Florida, if you plant those 1 3 gallon plants, guess what? 2 months later, they grow like they're as big as 7 to 20 gallon plants that quickly. It's really cool. Love being down here. Love being able to do that service.
Yeah. Chemicals are another big part of the business in Florida that isn't as prevalent in the rest of the country.
Now that's right. I mean, it's a lot of, because it's growing constantly. It's, you know, everything's growing. The bugs are running around free, and the plants are flowing and growing and thriving. It's a lot different. You don't really have much time to stop down here.
Yeah, you can see that when you walk in a distributorship right down there versus something you see in the Midwest. Just walk in and see what the floor displays are. It'll tell you exactly what's going on in that territory.
Absolutely. That's great. You're right.
It's mostly
doing it.
Go ahead. Sorry, I wanted to know, is most of your business in the landscape business consumer or commercial?
Well, I don't like to do commercial. I'm not one of those guys. I dabbled in that a long time ago, and I got burned too many times. I don't like to, when there's not one person that's directly responsible to pay you, then you're in trouble. So I'd like to deal with it. Plus, I get a lot of satisfaction when people smile. They see the things that I did. I did it personally to them. I made them happy. It makes me happy.
Oh, it makes good. So now I know you're into this thing called Turfs Radio, Turfs Up Radio. And tell us what that's about, and how'd you think of it, and how'd you get started?
Well, listen, I was doing the same thing you guys are doing, and I commend you, and I told you this on the phone, Rob. We're like-minded. We thought of this, you know, we're thinking that we all want to be heard. And I started this about 10 years ago. I actually got into it with a buddy of mine. I was doing some advertising with a local radio station back in the Philadelphia area, just because I felt like, you know, I'm not doing any advertising. It's time for me to do something. I like the radio, local radio show. I like the guy's hot beer or free beer and hot wings with the show. I said, well, let me just do some advertising. It sounds pretty cool. Spent a lot of money on it. Turns out that the people that were working at the station, started doing some bartership with them. I started doing some design work with them. And halfway through all this design work, before we actually got started with the job, they ended up getting fired. The whole station just went under, just wasn't doing well. So, and one of the guys they had a sister station, ESPN, and one of the guys there, said, Darren, he says, you know what? We're going to be friends, and I'm going to find a job, and I'm going to help you out. I'm going to take care of you because you've always taken care of me. So he ends up being the general manager of a radio station at Rider University. He says, Darren, I want you to do a show for me. I'm like, I'm not doing a radio show. I'm a landscaper. He goes, no, he says, I want you to help people. I want you to help people, help maybe the undergraduates who may not really find their way through college, but they'll have something to fall back on if they don't. At least they'll get their bachelor's degree, maybe start their own landscaping business to help them out. So I did. It became successful. We became number one as a college radio station quickly because of the show. And we were just helping others be better in business. We're helping teaching youngsters be better in business, and then learning to do business. And then other people were listening, and they were kind of. But the whole idea is that we wanted to be heard, just like you guys, right? We all want a voice. And I'm doing it, and I'm beating my head. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm on iHeartRadio like you guys, and I do all these shows, and you know, I have the podcast, and I'm screaming as loud as I possibly can. And who's hearing us? So I decided, you know what? What we need, guys, is a platform where everybody, we know people are listening. So I created Turfs Up Radio. So it's the 24/7 station that you can download the Turfs Up Radio app, but it's a 24/7 station where everybody together everybody that's interested in the green industry is comes to listen, because we're only dedicated to green industry. Even our little nuances, you know, like on radio, you hear the different sounds and stuff like that. We play drills and we play chainsaws and chains. Everything that has to do with the green industry, all the things that you're used to on a day-to-day basis, we play that kind of stuff. And we have great tips from contributors all over the country. We have people that are big in this business that have been around for a long, long time with great experience that love to jump on. That's why we want you guys.
I should get you a tape of my wife calling me up and say, hey, the valve's leaking. why can't you fix it? You work in that business. You don't come home and take care of it. I do something that I call HID. You know what that stands for?
HID. I can imagine.
Hire it done. We work with these products all day long. I come home. Not that I don't like them. Obviously, I do because I work in that industry. But I really want somebody else to do the job. I'm tired when I go home.
I know you are. You've been doing it for a long time. You know, but it's inbred. I mean, this is part of us, right? And this is why we. And what's great about it is we get to talk about the things that we've done. I have a lot of experience, 40 years experience, and I get to talk about what we've done, and it makes you feel good, doesn't it, guys?
It does.
It makes you feel good to be able to chat about this.
We had a segment on that was called DIY Sprinkler Guy.
Yeah.
And we asked people to call in if they can stump us with a question on irrigation. We'd give them a $50 or $100 gift card or some other prizes and things of that sort. But they'd call up and talk about, hey, I got a valve that's bad. And we try to explain there's only a couple things wrong that can go with the valve. Or we tell them how to test it. Or the same thing with pressure. You know, how do they know what the pressure is? And especially if they have too many heads on the same line. You know, all those kind of things. I think it's really important. And, you know, we started the show because of the drought that we had in California. Almost 4 years ago, but then we started getting a lot of homeowners listening to the DIY people. But then it spread out to a bunch of professionals, and then we got picked up with the Irrigation Association and the American Water Works Association and all these other places. And we do training films once a quarter or videos for them and broadcast it live where people can get CEUs. And even some of the people who are homeowners say, you know, I'm not a landscaper, but I never knew about this thing. I never knew about the pressure. I didn't know how to do this or check that out. Or, you know, I didn't know about AC or DC solenoids and things of that sort, or what we call distribution uniformity and spray heads or anything else. They didn't realize those. They never heard those buzzwords. They just said, hey, my gardener came back and said, this is broken and I got to pay $150 to put something in. And now they're talking more intelligent about it. So for the homeowner,
yeah,
it's really good. They truly understand that. And like with you, I'm sure you get more into the I'm sure you do the irrigation part, but you also do the floral and all the other stuff. Which, you know, when I got into this business and they said, oh, you're going to have California friendly plants, I'm thinking desert stuff, meaning cactus. You know, nothing but succulents the whole time. But that's not true. It isn't. And once I had a friend of mine who was educated in that, and he started showing me books on things on different floral stuff and bushes, and it was really beautiful stuff. And a lot of people just didn't know about that, and that's what we try at least through this show to do. And we bring a lot of legislative people, we bring a lot of technologists, we've had people from drone companies, we've had legislatures, we've had scientists, we've had weather people. I mean, but it's good because you now get a flavor of what's happening in this business that. As a homeowner and not in this world, this business, they don't know anything about those things. Just what they hear about on the news, which is very little.
Well, I think it's great what you guys are doing, and we advocate that everybody should be doing this. That's why we want everybody to be heard, because if they're hearing it on an intelligent level, on a level that is dedicated to this industry, and we tell our people, have your landscape, have your clients go and listen to the show and learn and let them be educated, so when you try to sell them something, it's going to be that much easier, or they're going to know that you're being honest with them.
Yeah.
And it's just a great platform. Great for all of us. Love what you guys are doing. Absolutely.
I think it's important to bring science and common sense together for everybody. I think that makes a big deal. Can you kind of tell us about some of the things that you have on the show through the 24 hours?
And you got
great music, by the way.
Yeah, a little bit of description about the content.
Oh yeah, first let me tell you about the music. The independent artists they're unsigned artists that are amazing from all over the world. My creative partner Mark Roma has brought. He's a songwriter. Goes to Nashville every other week. Does a lot of singing songwriting. He collaborates with a lot of people, but it's not just his people. Great stuff, and it's just really to keep people entertained in between all the great shows that we have. The tips that we get from all over the country, from all these people that I know that you guys have heard of it. We see these people all over the place when we go to different shows like Site One, you and Irrigate, all these people, and when they have these spring flings and stuff like that. But we have shows like Corey Ballard has a one-on-one show. He talks about innovative products. He doesn't necessarily – we're not – pushing. We're not an infomercial. We don't like to push any sales on anything, but we like to educate our listeners, who are the professionals, the people that are providing services for the end user. So what's going to make their operations, their daily operations better? Corey Ballard. Carl's got that. Got a great show every morning at 8 o'clock between Monday and Friday. Great show, one-on-one court with Corey Ballard. He's also got great stuff. He's got 1.5 million followers that follows him on Instagram and Facebook as well. And then we have Green Executive, Adam Lindemann. He does a show called The Green Executive, called The Executive Lounge. He brings people, it's more about business, about how to operate business, how to be better in business from a business standpoint, rather than going out in the field if you're running if you're working on your business rather than in it. Then we have a guy that does, Tyler Rominger, who does a digital contract. He talks about SEO and the operation of how to advertise on the internet. So we have a lot of shows like that. And in the morning, which we'd love for you guys to jump in, by the way, we'd love to jump in. We got the carpool every Monday between 8, check this out, between 8 and 9. And all the contributors jump on at a time. And what I do is I drive the car and you hear the truck in the background. You know, you hear that running. You hear me pick these guys up and then I drop them off. Find out what these professionals are actually going to be doing. So what's their day-to-day plan? So those are the type of shows that we do. And then a lot of other stuff. We do Raise the Mic every Sunday at 9 and 12 o'clock, where we spotlight the achievements of industry professionals, something that, like you guys do, on a day-to-day basis. And then we have the Weekend Review, where we just go over the entire week and talk about all the cool things that happen. But we have news and stuff like that. But we want to get you guys on Turf Stop Radio because this, we have your listeners. These people, Jeff, do you guys know Jeff Hesser? You know who Jeff Hesser is by any chance?
No.
I know you're on the other side of the country. This guy is a lighting guy, but he's also a water and irrigation specialist. I got to hook you guys. I'm going to see if I can get him to stump you. And this guy knows water. But he's a great guy for you guys to know. He knows a lot about irrigation.
Well, we're
going to
put him up against the huckster of hydraulics right here, Mr. Chris Davies. I came up with that name this afternoon. I thought that would be good for him.
I'm going to look up what huckster means when I get.
No, it's a good thing. I wouldn't say anything bad about you. He's our product manager at our company for all hydraulic products, and he has just a few years background. How many, Chris?
Yeah, like 40. So, I got to agree with you, though, Darren. I mean, you know, there's nothing like the aroma of new mown grass, right? I mean, it just smells so sweet and.
I still miss it. I haven't done it. I haven't cut lawns in years. I quit doing it back in the, I think, 1989 when I got into pavers. I started building pavers, but I miss it. I thought I would do it forever. I just love that smell. You know?
Could you stick around for a few more minutes? Are we going to take a quick break with one more commercial? We'll be back. All right, so we're going to take a break here, and we're going to get into an irrigation school. It's called Irrigator Tech, and they're excellent out here in the West Coast.
Are you presently part of the irrigation industry as a worker or business owner? Do you want to learn how you and your staff can boost your knowledge and productivity? Then you should check out Irrigator Technical Training School. Irrigator Tech is the leading source of quality instruction serving all facets of the irrigation industry. Their courses provide a basic, easy-to-understand approach that raises the skill level, competency, and professionalism of landscape and irrigation personnel through practical education and services. Irrigator Tech combines classroom and real-life hands-on training, leading to a well-recognized certification that both customers and employers demand. Irrigator Tech's specialized courses can help you quickly become a certified irrigation auditor or a certified installer, repair, maintenance, or backflow technician. Courses also include certificates in smart water application or becoming a certified tree worker. Most importantly, all certifications are state recognized, and Irrigator Tech offers annual renewal classes to help keep your certification up to date. So whether you work in California, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, or Arizona, there's an Irrigator Tech class near you. For more information on how to jumpstart your career, call Irrigator Tech toll-free 866-614-1755. Or visit them on the web at irrigatortech.com. That's toll-free, 866-614-1755, and on the web at irrigatortech.com.
All right, everybody, we're back on the air. Thanks for our Irrigator Tech, our sponsor, and our other sponsors on tonight's show. We're back with Darren Gruner, president of Total Landscape and Design, and also founder of Turfs Up Radio. So, Darren, great to have you on the show. Ken, I was just thinking while we were listening to the commercial, You've told us a little bit about the local celebrities and folks and segments you have on your show. Can you tell us a little bit about the about kind of, you know, any associations that you're aligned with, trade shows you go to, that kind of stuff? You know, where can people see you throughout the country, just not in Florida?
Okay, well, absolutely. So you can listen. What's great about what we're doing is that we have our own app. Okay, so we're a TurfSurf Radio app. You can find us on your mobile device, which is really cool. You can also ask Alexa to launch TurfSurf Radio too, so which is really cool. But we're working on creating Sirius Radio, where we'll be the only radio station dedicated to the green industry on Sirius once we put that together, which we're getting close to. But we also have affiliates. We're working on relationships with the GIE, with the FNLGA, or the Florida National Landscape Association as well. We got, and then the NALP. Now, what's great about that, we like to align ourselves with these type of people because we have so much going on. We want to, the green industry is your industry, it's your station. And that's, it's not about me, it's about all of us. It's all about all of us. So what we're trying to do is get that word out. So we're trying to create this, we want this platform to be available to anybody who's in this industry. And if you want, listen, when you're in marketing, the hardest thing in the world is to find out who's going to be listening to what you have to sell. And it's the hardest thing in the world. But if you create a market and create a niche and you know that people are interested, it's like a home run. And it's just going to be an easy flow thing. And that's why we're really aligning ourselves with these type of people who really are interested in what we have to say and what we have to do for them. But we do a lot of cool things too. We have the website, and we shelve we do like podcasts like you do. We have our podcasts. We shelve them onto our website so people can go back and listen to all of our shows. Matter of fact, we do giveaways. We're actually doing a giveaway right now. If you download the TurfSurf Radio, I hope you don't mind, if you download the TurfSurf Radio app right now, May 20th, we're giving away a Geo Ripper. If you're an irrigation guy, listen, you guys are irrigation. You ever hear the Geo Ripper guys?
The yes. Ripper guys. Yeah, we have. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
The Geo Ripper. Now, they're a sponsor of TurfSurf Radio, and they love what we're doing, and they stand by us. They're actually giving away one of their units, the GR16. If you're having trouble in rocky soil or roots and stuff like that, this is like a chainsaw, but it doesn't dull. And we're giving one away on Monday on our carpool show in between 8 and 11. If you download the app and you like the Facebook page, you can win one of these Geo Rippers. And what we're doing every month, we're doing big giveaways. If you listen to our show, find out. And each of the shows will have their own giveaways. And this is great because it's all dedicated to the green industry. Everything we do is not, we're not giving away McDonald's stuff, or we're not, you know what I mean? We're giving away stuff that has to do with green industry to help our industry professionals be better. A lot of these guys are new in the business and they just can't seem to afford pieces of equipment like this. We want to help, and that's what we do. That's what we're all about, helping the green industry. How cool is that?
That's pretty awesome. I know a couple, actually maybe less than a year ago, we did, was it the Florida Nursery and Irrigation? I forget the real title of that. We had them on. It was Chris Butts, I think his name was.
Chris Butts.
Yeah. And then we had, I did a thing with Adam Putnam, who's in Florida. He was the head of water or natural resources and agriculture,
okay.
I believe. So we try, at least for our show, when we first started, it was basically California and Southern California. And then we wanted to go further north, and then we said, you know what, the drought's going away from here, at least it's subsiding, let's start moving out. And we actually have listeners overseas. We've had calls to Africa. We had from Australia,
Saudi Arabia, India.
Yeah, so it's been
have you
go ahead.
Have you guys talked to Greg Reitman? Do you know who Greg Reitman is? Greg
No.
Reitman is a movie producer, but he is more, he's an environmentalist. I had him on our show. He's a great guy. He created an amazing movie called Rooted in Peace. Have you heard of that?
No.
Rooted in Peace?
Uh-uh.
You got to check it out. It's all about our watershed, all about environmental stuff like that. It'd be a perfect interview for you guys. I got to set you up with this guy.
Sounds good.
Really interesting. It would be perfect for you.
So what do you like better? Do you like the Totalscape design gig, or do you like the radio gig? I got to ask you.
That's a tough That's a tough question. You know that. I mean, I should stop with my Totalscape design because the feedback that we get for what we're doing with TurfSurf Radio is unbelievable. People are just jumping. Why didn't you guys think of this before? Why? How come no one's ever done this? And it just motivates the heck out of me. But then I love creating new designs. I'm a pool builder. I can build outdoor stuff. I love that. So I've actually created my business. My business model is actually I work for myself. There's nobody. It's no one person that works for me. I hire companies to work for me. But these are people that I use on a regular basis. So they're not like a subcontractor where like I'll bid it out.
Right.
These are people that work. But that's what helps me kind of step back and really focus in on TurfSurf Radio. But I love TurfSurf Radio. This is something I think this is the future. The future of radio. Radio's not going away, and you guys know that.
Couldn't agree with you more.
No, that's absolutely true.
It is. But we need to get this platform going. We want you guys. You guys are awesome. We love what you're doing. I don't know the stuff you know. We need professionals like you on our station.
We got turned on to you by one of our district sales managers out in Florida, who you know, Matt Taylor, and that's how we got information about you. But you know, at the opening of your portion of the segment, we were talking about your bio, and talked about the centerfold. So we just wanted to clarify that with you. You meant this? Obviously, it was a centerfold for your landscape designs, right?
You would want my girlfriend to be in a centerfold, but not me.
Ah.
Well, that's right.
I saw a picture of you down by the beach by a boat. So I guess you really like the outdoors, as you said.
I do. Would you guys listen? I know you're far away, but it's only a plane ride away. Both of you are always. I invite everybody come back and enjoy Florida. We live right by the water. As a matter of fact, they're testing in Florida right now. They're doing the test rides for the Blue Angels. They've been flying over my house. I'm right on the beach. I love the water. It's gorgeous down here. Come on down. Come check it out.
Yeah, we got to do that. We were actually, Chris and I were joking about in California, they go up to the Sierras here and do measure the snowpack. And we were just laughing because they have a shack, I guess I'll call it that.
It's a cabin, really, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Tell them what happened.
Yeah, that they go there. But I'm sure, Darren, you heard about all the wildfires back in California last year and the end of the season. Well, the shack that the state uses to go up there and do the annual snowpack measurement, that burned down in the fire. So that was tragic. But now when they go, these guys have to hike all this way in, and they have nowhere to go and warm up and have hot chocolate afterwards.
Yeah, we always talked that we were going to go do that and do a live show from remote from there.
Yeah.
And I still want to do that.
Well, listen, you guys know. I just want you to know, and this is important, that you should – we'd love – like I said, we'd love to – I'm going to ask you again. We'd love to get you on TurfSurf Radio. We are actually live right now on TurfSurf Radio, a little secret thing I'm doing.
Live from Bipono Beach.
We are actually – that's true. We're actually live. I'm doing station to station. The listeners are loving it. I'm getting messages as we talk. They're loving your show. They love you guys. And I'm glad to introduce you to. And we can do live. We have the capabilities of broadcasting anywhere at any time. I can get you to broadcast directly from where you are on TurfSurf Radio. The technology these days are just amazing. I mean, I could be driving down the road and I could do a live broadcast. Pretty crazy.
Excellent. Well, we're certainly going to talk again. I'll probably give you a call next week. This week's going to be real tight up for me and Chris, but I certainly will give you a call next week and we can start communicating on a more basis. And love to talk to you more about some projects and some things that we're doing and highlight you some more in your business. And we certainly want to do that. So, hey, thanks for taking the time. I know you're 3 hours different from us, and we do appreciate you coming on the show. And
thanks for staying.
They want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Just go to TurfSurfRadio.com. It's a great thing. And by the way, if any of your listeners want to join us on air, the same thing we ask them. We want to spotlight the achievements of industry professionals. TurfSurfRadio.com/join us on air. Book your appearance. It's so easy. Just go right there. It's such an easy way to navigate through our website. Get a hold of us, and we're easy to talk to. We have a lot of people like you that are friendly and will ease you right into this.
I don't know how friendly you are, but we are. But we'll do that. We're just joking. Anyway, we got to go. We're up against our NBC News.